podcast service of Quaker Gap Baptist Church in King, North Carolina, where our mission is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people.
This morning, I kind of want to complete our series on the fruit of the Spirit. This is our last week. I want to sum things up by putting an exclamation point on the end of that series. So if you have your Bible, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5. We're going to look at verses 22 to 23. We're going to read this list of the fruit of the Spirit one more time. Galatians chapter 5. Follow along as I read verses 22 to 23. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Heavenly Father, help us again to be reminded of the need to be filled with your Holy Spirit and to display the qualities that can only come from knowing you and walking with you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, let's begin with the fruit of the Spirit called love, which is probably first in the list because it is first in importance. The greatest of these is love. And all of the other fruits of the Spirit kind of come from love. And as we looked at love, we compared it to a passion fruit, because love is personified by the Lord Jesus Christ, who sacrificially gave his life in order that we might have forgiveness from our sins. And there's no greater love, according to the Word of God, than to do what Jesus did. That is to lay down your life for your friends, to sacrifice for others. And the passion fruit and its flower reminds us of the passion of Jesus Christ and the sacrifice that he made for us. And Spirit-filled Christians, Christians who are spiritual, who have the Spirit of God not only just living within them, but thriving within them, Spirit-filled Christians are loving people, willing to sacrifice for the benefit of others. The second fruit is the fruit of joy. The fruit of joy. The blackberry is a beautiful, delicious fruit, but in order to enjoy the sweetness of the blackberry, you have to go through sometimes and brave the pain of the thorns and the chiggers and everything else that goes along with picking the blackberry. And this is a reminder that sometimes life's greatest joys are experienced through trials. You know, what we consider to be happiness and joy are two completely different things, because happiness is ruled by the events that are taking place in your life, the experiences of life. Joy is centered in God and a relationship with Him. And you can go through difficult times and still have joy. Spirit-filled Christians are joyful people. Even in the midst of difficult times, they continue to walk in joy. The third fruit of the Spirit is peace. And we compared peace to an olive, because the olive branch is the universal symbol of peace. An olive branch was carried back to Noah's ark by a dove, symbolizing the fact that dry land had appeared and that God was making peace with his people. And that peace was once again restored between God the Father and his people. And Spirit-filled Christians are people of peace, whose relationships are characterized by grace toward one another. The next fruit of the Spirit is patience, which we personified in the avocado. You know, the time it takes for an avocado pit to sprout and is only just a few days. But for it to go from that sprout into a tree and eventually bearing fruit can take as long as 10 years. That requires a lot of patience. So the next time you dip into some guacamole, think about how long it took to get to that place. And think about patience. The Spirit-filled Christians are people of patience, not running ahead of God, but waiting on Him. Not stressing out on everything that's going on and always thinking about what's next, but living now and being patient in God. People who wait upon the Lord, the Word of God says, will renew their strength. They will mount up with wings as eagles. The next fruit of the Spirit is kindness. And kindness is personified by the pineapple. The pineapple, which is neither a pine nor an apple, by the way, is the symbol of hospitality. That a colonial dinner party was not complete without a pineapple on the table, even if the hostess had to rent that pineapple. As people came to the table, they knew that they were welcome. And the Word of God instructs us as Spirit-filled Christians to be hospitable to one another and hospitable to strangers, to be the type of people that welcome others into our life and into our world. Because in doing so, the Word of God says we may entertain angels without even knowing it. Spirit-filled Christians are kind people, the type of people that you are welcome to be around. The next fruit of the Spirit is goodness. Goodness. We measure goodness not by what we think is good, but what God tells us is good. What God tells us is good becomes a part of our life when we're filled with the Holy Spirit. We were created by God to do good works of righteousness before other people. This is why we were saved, because God wanted to work out His good works through us. And just as the strawberry carries its seeds on the outside of the fruit, like no other fruit does, so we as Christians are called by God to wear on the outside of our lives these works of righteousness and goodness that tell others what God is all about. Spirit-filled Christians are good people, people who choose to do what is right, people who join God in doing what He's doing in this world, people who do what is right and just in the eyes of God so that others might understand who He is. We wear our seeds on the outside. Faithfulness. Faithfulness is the coconut. The coconut was created by God to be able to faithfully withstand heavy seas for many, many miles so that it can deliver its life-giving seed to remote tropical islands and shores. It kind of fits in with what we've got back here. And the coconut is faithful to deliver its seed for very, very long distances. And we, as believers in Jesus Christ, are really the only ones who have the capacity to faithfully deliver the gospel to the unsaved. And Spirit-filled Christians are faithful and reliable people, people that can be trusted upon, people who will brave difficult conditions in order to get God's word and His will to other people. Gentleness. Gentleness. When you look at the banana, remember that people are fragile. Just like the banana is easily bruised, the people we meet each day of our lives that we spend time with are very fragile. Sometimes it's the people who seem the toughest, who seem like they never get down, that life is perfect for them. Sometimes it's those people who bruise the easiest. God has been gentle with us. When we deserved the harshest punishment because of our sin, God gave us His grace and He gave us His Son instead. When we deserved death and punishment from our sins, God showed us grace. So Spirit-filled Christians are gentle people. And we speak the truth to others, but we do it in love. And we reflect the gentle, non-combative spirit of Jesus to those who live around us. And finally, self-control. Self-control is personified by the grape, because grapes are a beautiful, delicious creation of God that man has taken and unfortunately has used inappropriately when self-control is lost. Many things that God has created for our enjoyment need to be enjoyed in moderation with self-control. And the best way to do that is for us to focus on the prize, to focus on God's calling in our lives. And those things that seemed important to us just kind of fall by the wayside. They aren't a problem for us anymore. In this way, we avoid getting sidetracked by our lack of self-control. Spirit-filled Christians, Christians with the Spirit living inside of them, are people who are in training to win the prize, saying yes to anything that gets them closer to the prize, saying no to anything that might hinder them or tempt them or cause them to fall along the way. Well, what would a fruit salad look like if we were to put all of these things together? I'm afraid it would be pretty disgusting, to be honest with you. A fruit salad made up with avocados and olives and strawberries, I don't know about that. So just forget those classifications for a moment. And think about what a fruit salad would look like in your life, taking all of the fruits of the Spirit. All of those beautiful fruits of the Spirit, are designed by God to be mixed together. You know, that's what a salad is. I looked it up in the dictionary to see what a salad is. Salads are confusing, you know. If you go to the restaurant and you order a salad, they're going to give you some greens with some dressing on it or something. You know, maybe some tomatoes and croutons and bacon and cheese and whatever else you might want to put on your salad. That's a salad, right? Ranch dressing poured liberally. But that's not it. There are other salads as well. I mean, there's a chicken salad and a tuna salad and a shrimp salad. That has nothing to do with greens. And then there's the fruit salad. So what exactly is a salad? Well, according to one definition, salad is a food mixture arranged on a plate or tossed and served with a moist dressing, usually consisting of or including greens, but doesn't have to, right? So that's what a salad is. It's just some foods that are thrown together on a plate and maybe some moist additive dressing on to make it taste even better. Fruit doesn't need that. You know, when you put a fruit salad together, just the juices of the fruits kind of combined together. You don't necessarily need to put any sort of additive on that. You don't even need sugar. It's just beautiful as it is. That's how God created fruit. That's how God created the fruits of the Spirit. That if you are filled with the Holy Spirit, I love this dove. And I love the fact that it starts with an eyeball. You know, you got this eyeball coming in, and I don't know if that speaks to you or not, but as I see that, it's like the eye of God looking out, and then it transforms into the dove and reminds me that, you know, that song that they were playing says, "Give me your eyes, God." Well, the truth of the matter is, if His Holy Spirit is living in you, you have His eyes. He's looking out through your eyes. And what the Holy Spirit would like to do in your life is to cause you to become a fruit salad, to take all of these fruits of the Spirit, to combine them in your life all together, you know, so that they all just become a part of your life and weigh you down so that others can see who God is through your life, the way that you live. Let me tell you about conviction. Sometime earlier this year, I was reading, it was a study, and it showed that members of churches have a higher likelihood of obesity than non-church members. Now I'm picking on you, right? This is what it said. This was earlier this year. I read this study and it said, church members have a higher percentage of obesity than non-church members. I started to wonder, what on earth is that all about? Why is it the people who go to church, is it that we're just sitting around on pews all the time? Is it the potluck dinners? What is it that causes us to be more obese than non-church members? And then it got personal because I read in the Guidestone magazine, which is the magazine for my healthcare provider, that Southern Baptists are the most obese when it comes to American churchgoers. And then it got even more personal because as I read further, I saw that Southern Baptist pastors were among the most obese of all ministers across the board. The more I read, the more convicted I became. And then about that time, I also went to a meeting that included a lot of my Southern Baptist pastors, brothers in the Lord. And I got there and it kind of proved and confirmed everything that I'd read in that article. Unfortunately, about that time, I also looked in the mirror and confirmed that it was not just the case with them. Sometimes, you know, it belongs, the conviction comes home. That's what happened to me. And unfortunately for me, I knew it wasn't a physical issue, that really it was a sin issue for me. And it was because of my own laziness. That was my problem. So, you know, since the beginning of this year, I've done what I can to exercise harder, to eat lighter. But on top of this, I recognize something, that it requires the fruit of the Spirit. Two fruits of the Spirit, self-control and patience, play a large role in that. In fact, Jerry and I were talking about this, and when you're trying to lose weight, there are these times where you just get discouraged because you don't see a whole lot happening. You know, you work out and eat right for a couple of weeks, and you go and you weigh yourself, and you gain 2 pounds. You say, what happened, you know? You start to get discouraged and say, well, this isn't working. And self-control and patience need to go together. I don't think the self-control works very well without the patience. So I learned that this is a fruit of the Spirit issue. Self-control to say yes to health and exercise and no to the extra helping, but along with that self-control, patience to be able to continue, because those results don't happen overnight. And I bring this up only because that particular issue was personal with me. And I don't think for a moment that my struggle is over. I think it's something that, you know, I'll have to be involved in with for the rest of my life. Now, I ask you, in which area of life has God been convicting you? As we've talked about the fruit of the Spirit, and I wonder how a balanced application of spiritual fruit might just be the answer to your struggles. The Lord wants to use the fruit of the Spirit in your life to cause transformation. He wants to change you completely, and He can do that. It could be your marriage. You know, think about how powerful the combination of faithfulness and gentleness and love might be in healing a broken marriage. It might be your relationships with people on the job. Just imagine and think about how this spiritual fruit salad that combines joy and peace and self-control might be able to help you in transforming your relationships at work. It could be trouble with your children. Now think about how important, put them together, patience, kindness, and love, and how those things could help you in raising teenagers. How awesome would life be if we allowed the Holy Spirit to have His way in our lives and we were all covered by His fresh, ripe fruit of the Spirit dangling from the limbs of our lives. How wonderful would that be? Our purpose as a church is to glorify God by growing Christ-like people. And I often ask myself, well, what does a Christ-like person look like? What is it that we're trying to develop here? What is the end product? What does it look like? Well, the fruit of the Spirit, all of them, balanced, lived out with perfection. This is who Jesus is. And if we want to be like Jesus Christ, well, then that's who we are when His Spirit has complete control of our lives. Now, I could tell you to get started living out these qualities in your life, that you need to take them one by one and start checking them off. Okay, I'm done with love. I'm done with joy. I need to work on peace. But that's not the way it works. There's a reason that it's called spiritual fruit. Apart from the Holy Spirit, it's impossible. So it begins by falling on your knees and confessing your need to God. God, how I need you. It continues by yielding your life to Him. More and more. The more that you allow the Spirit to thrive in your life, through paying attention to His voice, He speaks every moment of every day, and through being more diligent in the disciplines of prayer and Bible study, the more room that God will have to live in you, and the more room the Holy Spirit will have to produce His fruit in you and me. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, how we thank You this morning for the opportunity to look at these spiritual fruits yet again. We pray, Lord, that Your Holy Spirit would work in our lives. That Holy Spirit who lives there and desires to live out Your life in us, Lord, that we would give Him room, that we would yield to Him, that we would allow Him to have complete control of us. Father, that we might see some more of these fruits alive in us. And more importantly, Lord, that we might glorify and please You and that others might see that fruit and come to know You as well. We thank You, Lord, for who You are. You've demonstrated to us what it means to live a fruitful life on this earth. Help us, Lord, to be more like our Savior, Jesus Christ. For it's in His name we pray. Amen.